Thank you very much, Chris Morales. Time for the scoop. Everything that we haven't talked about yet. All right, so John, Monday night, I meant to get this game in yesterday, but Monday night in San Diego, Trent Grisham of the Padres hit a solo home run to tie the game at one, and he stood and admired the home run for a good long time. The home run was given up by Clayton Kershaw. This is what Dave Roberts said afterwards about the way Grisham handled the home run.
I don't mind guys admiring a homer. You know, certainly it's a big game, big hit. Really like the player. But I just felt that, you know, to over kind of stay at home plate, and certainly against a guy like Clayton who's got the respect of everyone in the big leagues and what he's done in this game, I just took exception to that because I think that there's a certain respect that you give a guy that, you know, if you homer against him.
John, do you give a Hall of Fame pitcher like Clayton Kershaw a little bit more respect, or is it totally fine to stand there and admire your home run for as long as you want?
Let the kids play. If you hit a home run, you can stand there, admire it, do a cartwheel, do a bat flip, do a windmill. You can dance around the bases if you want. I don't care. Every unwritten rule in baseball sucks. If it's not a rule, then you can do whatever you want. I love Clayton Kershaw, but no, I'm not mad at this kid. Let the kids play. What do you think?
Totally agree with you. I want more celebration. I want more home run admiration. I love the fun and the excitement and the stuff that you remember. I mean, face it, here's 2 days later, we're talking about Trent Grisham and hitting a home run and admiring it. That kind of stuff is sticky. That kind of stuff is fun on social media. That kind of stuff is going to appeal to a younger audience. Let the kids play is exactly the right slogan. Dave Roberts, I understand he was taken up for his starting pitcher there, but I'm completely in favor of what Grisham did. It hurt my heart to see a Padre hit a home run. It was actually fun to see him celebrate it.
Okay, I know I said I was going to do the Pac-12 first.
Yeah,
I'll get to it. But I have a Dave Roberts question. So since brought it up, I'll do that one now.
Got it.
David Rosenthal, who is a writer and a podcaster who covers the Dodgers, tweeted this about Dodger manager Dave Roberts after LA lost to the Padres on Monday night. Quote, Dave Roberts is a terrific manager of personalities, culture, and an all-around awesome guy. He is also a massive, massive liability when it comes to managing pitchers, and that aspect of his work warrants a ton of just and fair criticism. End quote. Is David Rosenthal right?
He is wrong, and this is why. You know, I fully believe that every day before the game, Dave Roberts, Andrew Friedman, any assortment of front office executives come up with a script for the game. And the script basically says, here's what we're going to do in this situation. Here's what we're going to do in that situation. Here's what we're going to do if this happens. I think Dave Roberts follows that script. I think he's part of developing it. I thought Monday's pitching changes were ham-handed, going to Pedro Baez in that situation. I didn't quite understand, just off the injured list, but he was reliable for him last year. No, Dave Roberts is not a liability in terms of handling pitchers and pitching changes.
So you're saying Dave Roberts is just a lackey in that situation?
No. I'm saying he is part of developing the script.
If you were doing a blame pie for what went wrong with the pitching on Monday,
50-50, Dave Roberts, Andrew Friedman.
So Roberts is still a pretty big part of it.
Yeah.
I think anytime your pitching doesn't work out, it's easy to criticize. Hindsight's 20/20. But I agree with you, going back to what you said earlier in the show. I'm over Kenley Jansen. They've been doing this for 2 years.
Yep, it's over.
He's not the guy he was 4 years ago. Try something new.
And he's been a great Dodger. He has been a great Dodger. But I can't go through nights like last night. I can't wrap up my night with the bases loaded and Kenley trying to eke one out. Let's make this easy. Let's go to Blake Treinen in the ninth inning.
Yep. It's you.
All right. Lonzo Ball, his new representation, his new agent is Rich Paul from Clutch. Now, he bailed on Roc Nation after just 3 months. Lonzo's coming off a season where he played a career-high 63 games, averaged 12, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. Is signing with Clutch a signal that Lonzo has escaped the sway of his dad, and do you think Lonzo is successfully developing as a player? What's his upside?
I don't think he had a great year, but I think he broke away from his dad towards the end of his tenure with the Lakers. I think Lonzo's his own guy, and I'm really rooting for him. I really like Lonzo, and his brother is going to be a top five NBA pick, LiAngelo. They announced the draft is going to be in November, and LiAngelo will be part of that.
But you don't think he is on track to develop into a great player?
Or do I have that wrong? Is it LaMelo who's his brother?
LaMelo is the one who's coming, yeah.
Yeah, LiAngelo's the middle one. Yeah,
yeah, he's the one who didn't cut it.
Yeah, LaMelo's the one that's coming. I think he'll be fine. Here's an idea, and tell me what you think of it. Put Mike D'Antoni in New Orleans.
It's interesting.
And let Drew Holiday and Lonzo play the Steve Nash role, and let Brandon Ingram and Zion play 7 seconds or less. In other words, you let them be Sean Marion and Amari Stoudemire.
Right. It's an interesting idea.
Really fun to watch. And David Griffin, the GM of the Pelicans, was the assistant GM in Phoenix when D'Antoni ran 7 seconds
or
less.
Oh, so maybe that is where they're going.
So keep an eye off. I don't know if it's happening. I'm just putting dots together, but I think that would be really cool.
The Jason Kidd thing I thought sounded interesting because Lonzo is often compared to Kidd. Like if Lonzo was spectacular, he'd be a Jason Kidd type of player, and maybe that in a mentor role would make sense. But I think the D'Antoni thing makes sense too.
Yeah, and Jason Kidd might be a potential guy in Philly because think about Ben Simmons being coached by Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
So that might work. All right, Mace. A very weird day when it comes to Pac-12 football and the future of it.
Got it.
So earlier this morning, the Big Ten announced they're coming back. They're coming back on October 23rd. They're confident that with their testing and the way that college football has kind of gone over the past couple of weeks at other schools, that they can safely bring kids back. Now, you and I have both gone on record saying we don't think it's the smartest thing in the world to play college football. So I'm not saying that I want college football to come back, or I don't. USC really wants to play. Their players all wrote a letter to Gavin Newsom. But here's why I'm bringing this up. So the Big Ten announced we're coming back. Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, immediately issues a statement that says, because of the governor's guidelines, we are not allowed to practice in the state of California, which means USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Cal all would be unable to practice. About an hour later, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, was doing a press conference, and he was asked, is that true that you won't allow those teams to practice? Here's part of what Newsom had in his answer. Quote, I want to make this crystal clear. Nothing in the state guidelines deny the ability for the Pac-12 to resume. Quite to the contrary. This has been a misrepresentation of the facts, end quote. What is Larry Scott and the Pac-12 referencing when they say they can't play because of Newsom and Newsom says it's not true? Who's telling the truth here?
Newsom. I mean, the governor ain't lying. Larry Scott, I've never been a fan of. I think he could screw up a ham sandwich. But I do think that Newsom is telling the truth. And I think we're at the point, John, now with the Big Ten resuming along with the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC, I think it is time for the Pac-12 to seriously consider starting the season and starting it earlier. They've got access to this rapid testing program. They're able to test players in very short order, really quick tests. I don't see any reason why the Pac-12 shouldn't be playing right now. The Amon-Ra St. Brown, Graham Harrell, a bunch of USC people have tweeted this letter out basically to Newsom saying, please let us play. And Newsom saying, no, you're allowed to play. It's up to your athletic directors. It's up to your chancellors. I think it's time to have a vote among Pac-12 schools and get a season started.
I have no problem with a vote. I still am not 100% sure it's the smartest thing to do. Did you see Coach O, Ed Orgeron, came out and said most of the players at LSU have the virus?
Okay, so here's my question, John. And this goes back to a conspiracy theory that Boomer Esiason had a while back. Do you think schools in the South are deliberately getting guys to get COVID so that they're good for the season?
I don't think they're deliberately doing it. I just think they're not really focused on preventing it. There's a difference. I mean, I don't think they're finding a kid with COVID and then telling people to high-five them, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But I also don't think that they're overly worried about keeping those kids apart.
Yeah, I think at this point, because of testing and because it's working elsewhere, and by the way, we will find out here in about 2 weeks. So, for example, there are not going to be restrictions lifted in the state of California until after we see what the numbers are like after the Labor Day weekend. We won't know really the impact of COVID until about 2 weeks after the start of the NFL season, about 2 weeks after the college football season. That's when we'll really get an idea. But so far, so good. And I see no reason why the Pac-12, since everybody else has sort of paved the way, I see no reason why the Pac-12 should not move to start the season.
I think that's where it's heading. And again, if they started, it would be a month from now. So the thing that is kind of tilting me towards you is we'll know in 2 weeks if all these other teams that have already played have huge outbreaks, and then you can still pull the plug on it. But I think it was probably premature to cancel the entire season. I think a month from now it could look radically different.
All right, brand new book out by Jason Cole. It's called Elway, A Relentless Life. And as it turns out, John Elway bailed on Tim Tebow for good reason. According to the book, Elway decided to take a chance on Peyton Manning, who sat out the entire 2011 season with a neck injury because he was, quote, a better gamble than Tebow would ever be, and it would be his, quote, way out of the Tebow mess. Now, one of his teammates said this of Tebow, he has no idea what's going on out there. If the first read doesn't work, he's just making it up. On top of that, Tebow reportedly upset Broncos players and management by charging a $50,000 fee for speaking gigs at churches. And one time,
what?
He even tried to charge Elway's wife $50,000 to attend a charity event. Does this change your view at all of Tebow?
Well, it makes me understand why they acted as quickly as they did. I think those decisions should all be performance-based. If they think, you know, if you think Tebow can help you win football games and he's kind of a jerk, I would still put the jerk out there because he can help you win games. It's too important. But if I'm on the fence, if I can't decide whether or not to, you know, well, I might want to keep Tebow, I might not, and he acts like that, it sure as heck makes it easier to get rid of him, doesn't it?
Can you imagine John Elway's wife? Can you do something at my charity event? Sure, if you give me $50,000. Jesus spread the gospel for free. Tim Tebow, apparently it cost 50 grand.
That's pretty ballsy. Elway's wife.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah. Can you imagine Jimmy Pitaro's wife asked you to do something for charity and you say, sure, for 50 grand.
50 grand. Yeah, it's to you.
See how that goes for you. All right, mates. Our old buddy Spiro Ditas.
Spiro!
Had an interesting tweet on Monday night after a long video review in the Broncos-Titans game.
Okay.
Here's what Spiro tweeted. Quote, "The length of these replay reviews are just so brutal. If you can't decide after watching it five or six times, call in the field stands and we move on. For the love of God." End quote. Isn't Spiro right? I mean, I've heard the argument that the most important thing is to get the call right. But again, this is an entertainment product. It's a TV show. Why delay the show for 5-6 minutes over a call? I think they should do one of two things. Put a 2-minute limit on the review or the call stands, or what Michael suggests for all sports, just eliminate the reviews until the last 3 minutes of a game. That's it. What do you think?
I am in favor of Eye in the Sky. I think all plays can be reviewed from New Jersey or wherever back east.
How long do they get?
You know, we know almost instantaneously when we look at a play. I don't understand why they don't know. Let's eliminate the whole referee going under the hood or looking at the Microsoft Surface and trying to figure. Just go somewhere where they got a whole bunch of TVs and can make the decision really, really fast. But I agree with Spiro. Way too long on these reviews. I mean, you want to get it right, but a lot of these are so subjective.
At what cost? yeah. you want to get it right. Look at it five or six times, like Spiro says, and if it doesn't change your mind, call Stans. Let's go. Can you imagine in the middle of a movie or the middle of a Broadway show, somebody says, I'm not sure I sang the right note. Let me redo that.
Yeah.
Let me do it again. No, it's an entertainment product.
Yeah, you're putting on a show. Make yes. it an entertaining one.
Make it a show.
Yes, yes.
I'm with Spiro.
All right, there you have it. There is your scoop for today. Coming up next for you, a guy who will gloat gloriously about the Clippers being eliminated from the postseason last night. Crash and burn for the Clippers at the hands of the Denver Nuggets. O'Shea Jackson Jr., one of the biggest Laker fans we know, will join us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
It's all about losing today. The Clippers losing last night. An entertaining loss. And joining us right now is O'Shea Jackson Jr. O'Shea, what's up, man?
O'Shea!
What's going on, guys? I tell you, I'm doing better than the second round today.
well, here's the story. Nobody reps the Lakers like our friend O'Shea.
That's for sure.
And he goes full-throated defense of the Lakers all year against any Clipper fan that comes at him. If they come at him in person, if they come at him on social media. Shea, what has the last 12 hours been like for you?
You know, John, I've already asked God to, you know, help me win a championship this year. And when I saw that the Clippers were going to a Game 7, I thought, there's no way he's going to give me this too. Like, there's no way I get this too. And so when I'm, you know, when I'm watching the game, and, you know, I start seeing, all right, it's second half, and if I know Doc Rivers, he's going to blow this game. So I'm watching, and when it got to 20, I started charging my phone. I started charging my phone because I knew I was going to level Earth. It was going to be scorched Earth, and I was ready. And my Twitter persona is Stone Cold Shea Jackson, so I went yep. full wrestling promo. And I just destroyed them, and I'm still doing it. I'm focused on the Nuggets, but there's still a couple of ticks left that I got to get rid of, these Clipper fans, these poor, poor fools.
Now, do you have any sympathy for Clipper fans?
I mean, I feel like you should always pray for the less fortunate, Steve. You know, I hope that they do better. You know, I hope they make better life choices, but I have no love for them. They're confused. They're confused, and they're like a virus infecting my city. You know, all these logos and these billboards.
Wait, they're like a virus infecting the city?
Infecting the city, Steve, with all the billboards and the L.A. Our Way. Ugh. What does L.A. Our Way mean for them?
Well, and I think we now know what their way is.
Well, the best one was
second round exit. Didn't
Kawhi, O'Shea, and we're talking to O'Shea Jackson, didn't Kawhi have a commercial for New Balance that ended with, we would tell you how this ends, but you all know. And that has exactly. new meaning now. Of course we all know. You go out in the second round.
Let me tell you, John, watching the Clippers in the playoffs, is like watching the Hangover movie series. Like, yes, it's the exact same movie, but it makes me laugh every time. It is ridiculous how they assume that they're going to be in anywhere past where they've always been. And the thing is, they started this war. That's what I want them to know. They started this war.
Okay, how did they start the war?
It was perfectly fine when they had Vinny Del Negro. Yeah, we were upset that they got Chris Paul. But then they hired that Celtics coach. They hired that Celtics coach, and he pumped their little heads up, and he made them cover our banners and deface our statues and retire jerseys, and it disguised their knowledge that they are worthless, that they are losers. They are the Los Angeles Clippers, because all they seem to do is lose, and they're not even home in their own town. They must be lost. I can't stand them. And I'm celebrating today with my Laker faithful.
O'Shea, there were many, many so-called experts who picked the Clippers to win the title this year, many of them saying that they would eliminate the Lakers along the way. Now they won't even get the chance to do that because they're out in the second round again. Who do you consider to be, like, you must feel vindicated, but is there one person above all else that you feel has to eat more crow after what happened last night?
Marcellus Wiley.
Yeah.
I want Marcellus Wiley to call me and apologize. I want to go on his show and hand him a Laker L. I want him to hold it in his hand, look in the camera, and apologize for the disrespect he's given us, not only this year, but
right.
ever since I've known him. He's been a tick on my neck. And whenever the Clippers lose, playoffs, regular season, I always think about him. So that is the one person that I really want a handwritten letter. Something. I need something from him.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to send him do you think we can get Marcellus on today, John? Do you think he'll dodge us? Or do you think he'll come on?
I do not think he will face the music.
Come on, Marcellus. This will be fun. This will be fun.
Bear, that Clipper dog is dying.
Now, how are you feeling about what you've seen from the Lakers so far in the bubble? Obviously, Western Conference Finals. What do you think?
What I love about the Lakers is I already thought we were the best team in the league. And then we got to the playoffs, and I realized they're better than I thought. Because the Lakers always stress me out. I've always said they're the best soap opera in sports. But with these playoffs, every game that I've been like, oh, my God, we got to win this. Oh, we seem to just be on cruise control and step up another level. We, you know, everybody wanted to get on Danny Green, and rightfully so. By the way, Danny Green saying that all the Laker fans that have been getting on him shouldn't come to the Laker parade. Slow down, dude. You've never been to a Laker parade, and we've been to several. Chill out. But he stepped up. And we seem to always step it up. I'm expecting to lose game one because this is some sort of like LeBron formula for him to just study how the
lose one, win four.
Yeah, like I'm perfectly fine with that, you know. But we are better than we even know we are, and we're just stepping it up. I'm loving it. We just need to stay healthy, stay focused, and start planning the parade on Figueroa.
Yeah, I don't know how we're going to have that parade down Figueroa.
It'll be virtual.
It'll be a virtual parade. Yeah. Virtual fans at a parade. We're not going to get the full celebration, but I'll tell you what, with the Clippers gone, I said this yesterday, with the Clippers gone, the Lakers have a straight shot to the title. They don't have to play the Clippers, who we thought were going to be fantastic. They get the Denver Nuggets, who they've had success against. And I love them in the finals, whether it's Miami or Boston. I think we're getting the championship this year.
You know, I want Laker fans to take this in. Our success, you know, it should not be connected to those vermin that just got kicked out of the second round. That's never been us. That's not how we work. Honestly, honest to God, the only player I feared on that team was Lou Williams. And so, you know, now we just don't have that fly in our ear anymore. You know, when you're at home, you're ready to eat, and then there's a fly in the kitchen or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, the fly just flew out the window. You didn't even have to kill it yourself.
I think we swatted it. I think the fly got swatted.
Not even by us. It's like if your neighbor came, killed the fly for you, and dipped out. You know, it's a lovely situation. Right now, we need to focus on the Nuggets. What I love about these playoffs is that they're all centered around Kobe Bryant. His hardest opponent to get the first ring was the Blazers. The Achilles killer, Mike D'Antoni, got beat so bad he just quit the next day. Now we got Denver. Denver was in the Western Conference Finals in 2009, and the Lakers won in Orlando. So it only fits if Boston is who we go against, and it's a full Mamba playoffs. It's written, bro. It's a story.
Okay, Shay, let me ask. Tell me if this is something. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, playoff P, as he likes to call himself, last night scored a combined 24 points.
Come on, Mace. It is written. Kobe is with us. You know, I'm sorry, Paul George, I'm sorry that you have to go through this, but you could have had it all, brother, and you picked Oklahoma. Kawhi, you could have had it all. You could have had LeBron and AD, but you wanted to make life harder. I don't want to hear you in the conversation for best in the league no more.
Yep.
Nowhere near LeBron. Pack it up, son, and Doc Rivers. Doc, the Celtics coach who beat the Lakers when they didn't have three of their starters. Is that really an accomplishment? What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
I just want people to recognize the franchise that has been feeding this city for over 60-plus years. And don't you ever forget it or disrespect any of the Laker faithful.
Listen to Shay go, man. That is awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it was a great night. It was a great night. It was fun seeing the text fly around right afterwards. Everybody laughing at this team that absolutely choked. Clear choke job. Shay, it is good to talk to you. Let's do this again during the Western Conference Finals.
I'm completely down, man. If the Clippers want to get better, maybe they should teach their athletic trainer how to do the Heimlich. Maybe he could stop these players from choking. Otherwise, it's Lakers forever. Mamba be with us.
There you go. O'Shea Jackson Jr. Thanks, Shay.
Of course.
There's O'Shea. By the way, Jacob Imrani listening. He's the one that sent me Kawhi and PG combined for 24 points. It's weird. It's weird.
Pretty appropriate, though.
Yes, completely appropriate. All right, coming up next for you. John has been talking about this for weeks. And I keep saying, I don't know, John, do you really want to bring it up? And he's like, yeah, I want to bring it up. I want it on the show. It's something I feel strongly about. And so I yielded. So coming up next, that thing that John has wanted to put on the show for weeks. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Lonesome Loser. Yet another song for the Clippers today. The Clippers get bounced. The super team, Kawhi and Playoff P and Lou Williams, Lemon Pepper Lou and all of them. Gone. Gone. Get blown out by Denver last night. Now we get Denver Lakers in the Western Conference Finals starting Friday. You'll hear that game right here on 710 ESPN. Michael Thompson and John Ireland on the call. I put Michael's name first, John. Is that okay with you?
Yep, I do too.
Yeah. So what is this thing that you wanted to get to that
I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Which one
are you talking? Wait a minute. Are you talking about the lady who cut her hand off?
Yeah.
Okay. So this lady, she's a citizen of Slovenia. Her name is Julija Edlesic. She hatched a plan with her boyfriend to collect on a big, fat insurance policy. They took it all out on her. In fact, they got five policies totaling more than $1 million. To get the loot, they cut off her hand with a circular saw and then filed a claim, presumably a disability claim, that would pay her $1 million. Now, she got caught. But the interesting question is, would you give up your hand? Let's say your offhand, not your dominant hand, your offhand.
Yeah, left hand for me.
For $1 million.
No, number one, no, it's not a good trade. And number two, the other question I had for you is, how did she get caught? Like, how can you prove, did they, like,
Not only did they catch her, she's in prison for 2 years, and the boyfriend got 3 years. It was insurance fraud.
Right, but
somehow they figured it out.
But, I mean, how dumb do you have to be? Did they
Well,
leave?
let's face it. I mean, Carol Baskin can feed her husband to the Tigers and nobody knows. These people can cut their hand off.
Yeah, but Carol Baskin didn't get caught.
Okay, $1 million. You know you're not going to get caught.
Mace,
$1 million for a hand.
Mace, I wouldn't do it for $100 million.
For $100
million? My hand?
Your
no
hand.
No way.
Your off hand.
No.
They have made great strides on
I'd
hand
be like the
replacement.
Guy in, I'd be like the guy in Kingpin. No.
Okay. Lindsay, $1 million, but you've got to give up your off hand. Let's say it doesn't cause any pain whatsoever. No pain whatsoever. You're under anesthesia. It's done the normal way, and you just give up your hand for $1 million. What do you say?
No, not for $1 million. Absolutely not.
Would you do it for $100 million?
Not enough money. Yes, $100 million, I would.
Oh man,
$100 million, you would.
No, Jorge, you wouldn't, would you?
I wouldn't do it. No,
for $100 million,
the rest of your life, you have one hand.
Nah, I'm good.
So $100 million could buy you a pretty fancy prosthetic.
But yeah, you get a pretty good prosthetic hand for $100 million.
Yeah, but it's my hand. I need it. I couldn't golf anymore. I couldn't play.
Oh, golf would be over for you. That's right.
But I think you use your hands for everything.
Yeah, I use most of my right hand.
Ken Abbott was able to be a successful major.
Oh, this is an excellent point.
True, yeah.
True that.
Matter of fact, hey, Lindsay, Jim Abbott, great golfer. He's like a 4 handicap.
There you go. My point. Exactly.
But Jim Abbott didn't have a choice. He was born without a hand.
I think we should ask him if he would want his, if he, you know what I mean? Like pose the question to him in a way where it's like, okay, if you were born with a hand, now since you're somebody who went through life without a hand,
I bet you wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, I bet you he wouldn't change a thing.
He's like really, he gives like inspirational talks to kids who have been born with physical disabilities and you know, because Jim Abbott threw a no hitter, mate.
Yeah, no, he's unbelievable. So nobody's a taker.
No.
Oh, Lindsay's a taker for $100 million.
No, let's find out what Lindsay. What's your
do it? Yep.
What's your number though? Okay, what about $50 million?
If you do it for 100, you do it for 50. You'd have a hard time spending. You'd have a hard time spending $100 million or $50 million.
You can. What are you talking about? You can't even afford playoff P for $50 million.
I feel like for $50 million, I would do it. That'd be my number.
That'd
Nothing
be the
lower
number.
Than that.
Okay,
but what about less? What about $40 million?
No, I wouldn't do it for
$50 million. Is your number?
Somewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Mace, what's your number?
My number. $10 million.
You're both idiots. I like a
$10 million. That's a lot of money.
A billion. Who's the guy that owns? Who's dating Lauren Sanchez? Who owns?
Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos.
Amazon, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's got like $400 billion.
Yeah,
with
but
a B.
John, seriously, $10 million, and basically you've got the ultimate sense of financial security. I could never spend that much money. I could sit on my ass and do the show for as long as I want to, or as long as I don't want to.
Not doing it.
I would absolutely
put up
do
a
it
poll.
For $10 million. Put up
a poll. For $10 million.
For $10
million,
would you give up your offhand?
Because $1 million's
not enough.
Okay. $10 million, would you give up
poll
your offhand?
Going up now. All right, coming up next for you. I'm glad you brought that up because I thought it was an interesting topic, John. I'm sorry I resisted it for so long.
Well, and I also think that we took it away from Lindsay in Radio Tinder.
Oh, was
so
Lindsay, did you have this in Radio Tinder?
That's okay. I got plenty more.
Okay, cool. Radio Tinder is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Swipe left, swipe right. Okay, here we go. This is where Lindsay tees up some stuff for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. This week, Walmart joined Amazon in announcing plans that they, too, are planning to start using drones to deliver some of their products.
Hmm.
Walmart will be partnering with drone delivery service Zipline to make on-demand deliveries of select health and wellness products. This means that soon, hundreds of drones equipped with state-of-the-art AI technology will regularly be flying the skies and may or may not be monitoring and or recording us in any way. Do you trust Amazon and Walmart to not invade your privacy with these high-tech drones?
This is swipe left. This is the thing I said from The Kingsman with Samuel L. Jackson as the guy who takes over the world by giving everybody a cell phone. These drones are going to take over the world. It's going to be like Terminator. No drones.
You know what? I think the drone thing is unavoidable. I think it's going to happen. I don't think Amazon's using it yet. I order a lot from Amazon. I've yet to see a little drone fly up to my house, so I don't exactly know when it's going to start. But I will say I think it is reasonable and acceptable to actually get things delivered by a drone.
What are you talking? This is again with your driverless cars.
This is
and
the
your
future.
Drones,
I want robots, my jetpack. I want my chip in my brain.
The chip in your brain's gonna kill you, man.
What's new? What's next, John?
Oh,
what's new?
Insane.
What's next? Next is drones.
Lindsay, you're not pro drone, are you?
No, I think it's weird. And I mean, I'm already a big proponent of, you know, Enemy of the State, the movie with Will Smith,
yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Where
yes.
they can literally put a camera on you at any time. Like that's 2020. That's happening now. They can like zoom in on you and see the writing on your wristwatch. That's what I'm convinced of. And so I just think that the drones add a whole new layer of privacy disruption. So I don't like it.
I own one, guys. I own one, and I've gotten kicked out of places just for flying it over somebody's house. It's like, you have a permit? I mean, I have a permit. I have everything, but I get kicked out of places simply
for flying
over.
Well, but what does the permit allow you to do?
Film. It's just for film purposes. I'm getting beauty shots of the city and whatnot, and then...
But you're not allowed to fly over somebody's yard, right?
Exactly, because they think it's private, you know, invasion of private.
So what do you think of the idea of Amazon and Walmart actually delivering stuff by drone?
Nah, I don't think... I don't like it.
Don't like it. Okay.
Nah.
I think it's happening. Just like driverless cars, just like chips and brains... just like AI, I think it's going to happen, and it's just a matter of time.
It's going to happen, and it's
by
just
way,
a bad idea.
Lindsay, related update, and thank you to Brian Pena, who just tweeted this to us. You know how this is related to your question? You know how the people got caught, Mace, who cut off their hand?
No, how?
Their search history showed that they were Googling how and where to get a prosthetic a week before the accident. I'm telling you, that's exactly what Lindsay said. It's a privacy issue.
You have a digital footprint. There's
there
no question. The drones are coming. Believe me, the drones are coming. You cannot fight the future.
I will fight them to the death. They'll take it out of my cold, dead hand, probably by a drone.
To the death.
So you can literally never go off the grid again with these drones. But anyway. Moving on, the first official Mountain Dew cocktail will soon be available at Red Lobster. Big fan of Red Lobster. The Dew Garita will be rolling out to select restaurants in September and expected to be available nationwide by the end of the year. Mountain Dew's, quote, take on a margarita includes the citrus-flavored soda, tequila, and a few other special ingredients. The new drink will be exclusively served at Red Lobster, and a suggested pairing is the seafood restaurant's Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Hmm.
Also a big favorite of mine. Would you try a Dew Garita? Swipe left or swipe right?
Okay, so you guys know what Mountain Dew does other than, you know, it's liquid death, Mace, but...
But
you know,
it's got more caffeine than any of the sodas.
Correct. It hops you up.
Yep.
You know who would be all in on this is Mike Trudell. He's a Mountain Dew nut. I mean, he may have backed off now that he has kids, but he used to drink Mountain Dew left and right. I'm not a big Mountain Dew guy. As you guys know, I don't need any more caffeine. I don't sleep as it is, so I'm probably out. I'll swipe left. Mace, how about you?
Swipe left. Something weird about Mountain Dew. The color is weird. I mean, it's not a color that's found in nature at all. And I think it feels very chemically to me, so I am swiping left. I would not be in on the margarita made with the Mountain Dew.
Guys, anything with tequila, really? Sign me up. I'll try it.
You'll tequila and motor oil. You'll drink that.
I'll try it, man.
Lindsay, what about you?
I would try it if my friend ordered it, and I'd be like, hey, let me get a sip of that. But I don't think I'd order it. I don't think I'd pay, you know, $10 or $12, whatever a Red Lobster margarita costs.
Who goes to Red Lobster?
Red Lobster is delicious. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know if there's a Red Lobster anywhere near me. Is there?
My grandmother loved Red Lobster. That was her big out meal. She would go out and she'd go to Red Lobster. But I don't even know where one is here. I'm sure it's like sort of like Olive Garden. Like I don't get Olive Garden.
Yeah, which is
either.
Also great.
That's not great Italian food, and it's not great
seafood.
Oh, don't
tell that to Jack Ireland.
Do you think Olive Garden is good Italian food?
Jack Ireland does.
Lindsay, do you think Olive Garden is good Italian food?
Let me say this. I think Olive Garden is delicious, but I don't believe that it's authentic Italian food. So I'm aware that there are much better authentic Italian places, but there's a couple dishes there that are pretty good, including the breadsticks.
Okay.
Just can't make them like that. All right, next one here. In a product debut that will surprise pretty much nobody, Yandy has unveiled a pair of, quote, sexy Tiger King-themed Halloween costumes this year.
What's Yandy?
The retailer. Yandy, they've sold sexy costumes online inspired by things like Popeye's chicken sandwiches, Mr. Rogers, and pumpkin spice lattes.
So this is like sexy Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Is that what they were going for? Okay, got it. Sexy everything.
Yeah, so if you go to like Yandy.com, any sexy version of literally anything, they've got like Woody from Toy Story, Buzz Lightyear. You could do like a sexy tree. Pretty much anything you could think of, it's going to be on this website. And they've launched the, quote, coolest cat and tiger queen costumes on their website. While there's no Carol Baskin-inspired version, the two costumes on there offer friends the opportunity to reimagine themselves as a female Joe Exotic and then one of his exotic cats, both very skimpy attire. Do you guys ever dress up for Halloween? And are you planning to this year? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, Halloween's been canceled, Lindsay. Did you know that
for this?
No,
for
trick
this
or
year.
Treat. Trick or treat has been canceled, but that the holiday itself is
true.
Not
Halloween
canceled.
Is still going to happen whether there's trick or treating or not.
I don't know any adults who go trick or treating anyway.
I will swipe left. It's been a few years since I dressed for Halloween. The last time I did, I would have gone to West Hollywood and I would have been dressed as Bert, and my ex would have been dressed as Ernie. We went to
you
the
cannot ta- costume. You cannot talk Juan into going as Ernie?
No, this was pre-Juan. Pre-Juan. Years ago.
Okay.
John, what about you?
Halloween's the most underrated. You know what? You know when Halloween is the best? Is when you're in college. Because the costumes are the most creative.
Yep.
And as my wife says, every girl in college, they were required, like Lindsay, you said that. What's the name of that company that had the sexy
Yandy?
Every girl basically goes to Yandy. You know, it's like if you're a ghost, like when you're a kid, you throw a sheet over your head and you're a ghost. But when you're in college, it'd be like sexy ghost or sexy doctor or sexy. That's when those, I think that's when that company probably came to be. Is that when you're in that age range from like 18 to 25, that's when everybody gets racy with the Halloween costumes. But I haven't dressed. I used to dress up if I was doing like a haunted house around the neighborhood and stuff. But I haven't in years, and I don't think Halloween's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Lindsay, do you dress up normally?
I haven't in a few years, but I have quite a bit in the past, especially Star Wars characters, like I've mentioned before. Great Star Wars.
What about
costumes.
You, Jorge?
Yeah, we've changed it up. We switched it up here and there. We were pirates at one point, especially with the baby. We do a theme type of thing. So, yeah, we try to do it.
What was the theme going to be this year?
I think we're going with something with Toy Story.
Oh, Toy Story. Yeah. That's nice. Nice. All right, so there you have it. There is your Radio Tinder. Yep, you can be sexy schoolgirl, you can be sexy wicked vampire, you can be sexy bunny cat suit costume.
Everything you can see ghost.
But I wonder if they get kneecapped by COVID like every other industry, because there aren't going to be very many Halloween parties this year.
Yeah, no, you're right. They're probably not going to, it's not going to be a good year for Halloween. All right, coming up next for you, John, we should take some calls. We have yet to take phone calls.
Yes,
today.
Let the people speak. We even welcome... Clipper
yeah, keep
fans.
It G-rated. Keep it G-rated, says Jorge.
Yeah, please keep it G-rated.
Clipper fans, if you would like to face the music,
where is Clipper Daryl? The Laker era is over.
Laker fans, if you want to gloat, 877-710 ESPN. It was a fun night in Los Angeles as the Clippers went down in flames. Chance to gloat or a chance to face the music next. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.